Jason Lockenfora joins us. Jay, you're an Orioles guy. You've covered the Caps, the draft last night. This is a busy time for you. How do you prioritize?
Oh, it's all good. I mean, it's all draft for me right now. But I'm trying to keep half an eye on whatever else is going on. But it was a crazy night in the NFL for sure. And it's just amazing that this league, even when it really should be basically shut down and quiet, you know, it just never is. There's one surprise after the next. You know what I mean? Whether it's San Diego keeping mum on Bosa, or Laremy Tunsil's, you know, Instagram and Twitter feed literally going like full, you know, explode mode. And, you know, whether it's some of the trades that were made, it just never sleeps, man.
So if our audience was like me last night, it was jumping back and forth between the, what, 6-7 minutes between picks in the opening round of the draft, as well as the first game?
10, yeah. Okay. Sometimes felt like 20, but yeah.
And then, of course, periods 1, 2, and 3 of the Penguins and Capitals, including a little overtime as well. It was a great night for the couch. We would obviously catch a lot of the stuff that happened jumping back and forth, but we wouldn't have got the full picture. I don't know where to start other than the Tunsil tumble,
right,
or whatever you'll be calling it. I'm a guy that grew up going down to San Diego watching the Chargers game. I thought it would be a slam dunk for them to get a left tackle with Phil Rivers in the final years of his career, but it's been a gaping hole for them for ages. They don't take Laremy Tunsil, but no one else did till 13. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a crazy night. Look, when you talk to one thing I got to give the credit to Chargers for, first of all, is they did a very good job of playing this close to the vest, and they had even, you know, there's some executives in the league who either used to work with Chargers general manager Tom Telesco, or used to work and coach with their coach, Mike McCoy, or who used to work there themselves. And there was not a lot of hard, tangible information about which way they were going to go. The consensus among other teams I spoke to was they got to take a tackle here. They might never be picking this high again. And there's, you know, two potential franchise left tackles. And then it falls off a cliff. Now, you can make the same argument about pass rushers. You get one in, you know, you get Bosa here, you know, or maybe you get, you know, somebody in the team. And then it falls off a cliff, and you're just guessing and hoping the rest of the rounds. They clearly, Bosa was their guy. And I had one person in particular telling me all day yesterday, like, man up and put Bosa in your mock. It's definitely Bosa. And this was not someone who works for the Chargers. And I'm like, you're just guessing. And this guy's like, it's Bosa. They say hope maybe somebody trades up for a tackle and blows them away, and then you get Bosa a couple picks down. But it's Bosa. And it turned out, you know, obviously, it was Bosa, the pass rusher. And, you know, now we'll have to see. They take it to top of round two. You know, there's some tackles like this kid Spriggs from Indiana. I mean, there's a second tier of guys who people feel like, you know, are raw but will play in the league and maybe have some upside. Certainly not talked about the way the top four tackles were. So they'll probably wade into that market. But they need help on defense. They need help everywhere.
Yeah.
You could have made the case for Jalen easily. They lost Eric Weddle, their franchise safety, right? He got long in the tooth. They weren't going to pay him anymore. They need help at corner as well. This kid could be a corner or a safety, although they did, you know, they have drafted corners pretty high in recent years. So we'll see. But it was certainly something of a surprise. And then Tunsil, you know, ends up taking 10 picks before he's picked. And, you know, you've got, I'm sure everybody's seen the images now of, you know, the screen caps of his text and his between back and forth with his parents and a coach at the University of Mississippi. I mean, that program is going to be in all kinds of trouble. And, you know, Tunsil probably enters his rookie year already in the NFL's drug program because of the evidence that came out last night. And it's a gamble for the Dolphins, who don't really need a tackle. But I get that somebody was going to break this kid's fall at a certain point. We'll see if it works out for Miami. The problem for Miami is, again, they have two tackles. They have a locker room that's been caustic. I mean, remember, they had the Jonathan Martin stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they've had three offensive line coaches fired in 3 years. The offensive line room has been particularly troubled. Their, you know, alpha male, Pouncey, their center, is no stranger to controversy and trouble. They had the Richie Incognito thing, the Jonathan Martin thing. They're not stable, and it's a rookie head coach, and it's not like he's going to a winning environment like Pittsburgh or Green Bay or Baltimore or New England where you say they'll just figure it out because the coach has won and the environment's so clean. And you got South Beach there.
Yeah.
And now the kid's got to learn a new position. And he comes in under all this pressure. So, and Miami hasn't won anything meaningful in over a decade. So we'll see how that works out.
It was funny because the Raiders were picking after, and you're thinking, is there ever been a guy that, you know, doesn't, you know, scream Raider louder than the day he's having? And then also you saw Tennessee trade up to eight, and Tennessee needed a tackle. It looked like when they traded up, they were going to go get
it. Well, it was clear that Tunsil was off their board because Tennessee, now it's down to one tackle. It's down to two tackles for Tennessee. It's down to Decker and Conklin because now Tunsil's off their board. So Conklin, you know, once all that stuff, all hell breaks loose. You know, they weren't going to trade up for Tunsil. So they trade up for Conklin, which meant now you're down to one tackle, Decker, who was not going to get past Tennessee and Indianapolis, who were picking within a couple picks. Between Detroit and Indianapolis. So you had all these picks between 15 and 18. And they all know that now we're basically down to one offensive, you know, one tackle and one center, and then that position is pick bone dry. So that was the dynamic that led Tennessee to move up to get Conklin. But remember, when they moved up, Tunsil was still there.
Yeah.
So before all this broke, and before Tunsil's character went crazy, and before he got sued by his father-in-law, stepfather, 2 days ago, if Tennessee stays at one, Tunsil was the pick. Like, at the time they made that trade, whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, with the Rams, if you had them make that pick in real time in that moment, it would have been Tunsil.
So what was
For that kid to go from that to now Miami taking a flyer on him at 13, and him being the fourth tackle who goes, and almost the fifth, because Decker ends up going just a couple spots behind him. That's huge in terms of potential earning now, you know, earning potential in the future, being in the drug program, being subjected to all those tests, having all that pressure on you. It's not going to be easy, especially down there in Miami, where who's the leader of that team? Ndamukong Suh? He's the highest paid guy. He's not even there for OT. He's not even there for it to work out. He doesn't even bother showing up in the offseason. He does his own thing. They have no leadership. And I think it's the worst place possible for him. But, you know, I'm rooting for the kid. I'd love to see him pull through. But I don't think that's, you know, had he landed in Seattle at 26, that would have been my genius pick.
Yeah.
They need a tackle. They can deal with different cats. Pete Carroll's kind of got that college mentality. He knows how to deal with these kids. And they find value. And they've got a locker room, you know, that's handling a lot of stuff. And they win. Winning clears up a lot of that stuff, but losing exposes it, and Miami loses.
What was the timeline on this stuff coming out? Because we heard about it, but it wasn't clear exactly when this was posted and then torn down, at least from my scattered viewing between the game one between the Caps and the Penguins and the draft.
I started hearing rumblings of it. This draft started officially at 8. I'd say within a half hour of the Rams officially being on the clock, you started kind of hearing chatter about it, and then by the time the Rams were on the clock, it had been out there and pulled back, but obviously the screen caps were there, and I was starting to text people, you know, with different teams, like, is this thing real? Is this thing real? And that's what was, I mean, trust me, that was burning up these war rooms, especially, you know, all these teams between 1 and 18, you know, the 5 or 6 teams between 1 and 18 that were clearly all in on an offensive line help. Now you're talking to your owner. You're talking to your chief legal counsel. You know what I mean? You're talking to your team president. Like, This is no longer a football decision. This is now an upper management decision. So he was. There were certain teams where it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like Baltimore, where they had the Ray Rice video thing. They weren't. There's no way they would. Like, he probably is the pick, but now he's not. Now he's undraftable. Period. Because we just can't deal with a whole nother, you know. The first time you Google this guy, it's you know, this video and having to talk about it over and over and over again. Like, they just weren't up for it, you know? Even the Giants at 10. I mean, yeah, they've taken a lot of tackles over the years. But you put this kid with Eric Flowers, and now Eli Manning can, you know, he don't have to worry about anything the next 5-6 years of his career. But he's off their board because they're not going to deal with that in New York. For them, he's undraftable. I mean, you just go down the list. Had Miami passed, again, I think the Jets at 20 would have strongly considered it based on whoever else is on the board just because, you know, they really need a left tackle. And I think they would have figured that they could help this kid with having people like Brandon Marshall around who've dealt with this stuff. Like,
what about the Lions?
I think, again, Seattle at 26. If that kid's there at 26, I don't think Seattle trades out of that pick for Paxton Lynch to go there. I think they would have stayed there and taken that kid.
Ezekiel Elliott goes 4 to Dallas. The rule in the NHL, don't take a goalie in the first round. It seemed like that had been the rule in the NFL surrounding a running back. Why does this make sense or completely not make sense?
I don't think it does, really. I don't think it does. I think it's sort of it's the inverse of Moneyball. So they put all their assets into the offensive line. They used the, you know, when did they take Tyron Smith? Was that 2010? Between like the 2010 draft to 2014 draft, they basically completely rebuilt their offensive line to the point where, you know, that's the strength of their football team. They want to keep that group together. It's going to cost a lot of money to keep that group together. And they showed last year when they took a beat up Darren McFadden, he won the job at running back, and they still ran the ball well. In a year in which they had no Tony Romo, remember? And people are like, oh, they didn't run it as much as they did with DeMarco Murray when he had 1,800 yards. Yeah, well, he had Dez and Romo played the whole season the year before. Like, newsflash, that helps the run game. You know, last year, Dez played, half the year and was never truly healthy. Romo literally played, like, 5 quarters of football. And they still, I think McFadden ran for, like, 1,200 yards. So you've got it set up to where now you don't need to pay other positions on offense, particularly running back, because you're all your money sunk in your offensive line. So then they go and take a running back. I don't get it. And certainly I don't care if all I got was a 4th-round pick or a 5th-round pick. Here's what you know. You know that you're picking a 4. Jacksonville is not taking a running back. Right, Baltimore, if you've done your homework at all, is not taking a running back, and San Francisco is not taking a running back. So if any of those teams were to move up for, you know, whatever, Buckner or Stanley or Ramsey, I'd have taken anything. I don't care if all you could get was a 4th or a 3rd to move back 2 spots. I'd have done it, and then gone and got my running back there and said, you know what, we're gonna get another starter with that other pick. And we didn't have to take him at 4, and he was still the best player on our board. I mean, he really doesn't come into play until 8. And if you're scared that somebody else is moving up for a running back, like who? The only team that would do it is Miami. And if they wouldn't do it at 4, then they're not going to do it at 5 or 6. Now, maybe they do it at 7 or 8, but you don't drop back that far. I don't like the pick. And the fact that they were trying to get Paxton Lynch at the end of the first round, I think that's a little rich for their blood, too. And they're lucky that Denver got him, and they didn't. Because I don't know if that would have made sense. You know, they were the other team that was trying to package picks to move up from the top of the 2nd to the bottom of the 1st to get Lynch. And I think John Elway saved him from himself.
Jalen Ramsey goes 5 to Jacksonville, and this just screams of a great pick, at least early. And who knows, maybe the guy never plays a game. He blows out his knee in preseason or something. But the skill level through the roof on a team that could use some help in the secondary.
Well, at that point, that's the ultimate no-brainer for them. I mean, look at what they've done this offseason. I mean, as much as I like the kid Buckner, the D lineman, they're paying Malik Jackson $16 million a year now. You know, they signed him from Denver, gave him a monster contract. They tried to help the pass rush. You know, they were in on Olivier Vernon and some other guys. You know, they end up, they still have the kid Fowler, who was hurt all last year, coming back. So he's kind of their rush end already. So while Bosa would have made some sense, they didn't like his character, A, and then B, he's not even on the board. So they're not taking a tackle. They've taken tackles, you know, a bunch of tackles. They weren't going to go that way again. They had to help the defense. And they're sitting there, and their coach, Gus Bradley, is looking at Ramsey saying, you know, that's my Earl Thomas. You know, he came from Seattle. And so he's trying to find, like, he has his Bruce Irvin and Fowler. Like, he's trying to kind of, you know, he's thinking of things in those terms. Well, this could be, you know, if this kid is a corner, then maybe he's my Richard Sherman. But what he really is probably a longer Earl Thomas. He's probably, you know, a real center fielder, a free safety who could thump a little bit, but who's a game changer making plays on the ball. So that's a no-brainer for him. It's an area they haven't done a whole lot at corner or safety. You know, they drafted guys there, but they don't have that veteran presence already blocking this kid from playing. So, yeah, that's a no-brainer for them.
Paxton Lynch to the Broncos. What's the timeline on this quarterback, and what are we making of Denver's quarterbacking situation heading into the OTAs, I guess?
I mean, it takes them out of the Kaepernick hunt now, which is a real loss for San Francisco. I mean, they might just end up cutting that kid at this point. Because it's clear they don't want him. They don't want him there, and he doesn't want them. And it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle when you've been so open about trying to trade your quarterback. Look, Denver, you build up sort of a resume in this league, and certain people you're more willing to give the benefit of the doubt to. John Elway and how he handles quarterbacks, his record's pretty sterling, right? I mean, since he's been an NFL executive, he woos Manning and beats out other teams, even though no one thought Manning wanted to play in the elevation and in the elements and playing outdoors and playing on the West Coast. He gets him. He drafts Osweiler to be the heir apparent. Osweiler actually, can play a little bit when he needs to. He gets rid of Manning when he has to. He realizes, I'm not going to go crazy to keep Osweiler because I can draft another Osweiler, or I'll trade for Kaepernick, or I'll find somebody because my defense is so good, I don't need to pay my quarterback $20 million like everybody else in the league. He holds his ground, and then he makes a smart trade to get Paxton Lynch, who, if you look at the metrics, is like a more athletic Osweiler. He's not going to sit for 3 years like Osweiler, and I bet he beats out Mark Sanchez sooner rather than later, even if he's raw. But for what they ask a quarterback to do and for what Kubiak's system is, it makes all the sense in the world. Doesn't mean it's going to work out. Doesn't mean the kid will be a player. But the logic behind it is sound. I have no issues with it. By getting him, late in the first round, you control him for 5 years. You get that fifth-year option. The second year, it's a four-year contract. You get him in the second round or later, which means after year three, if he's any good, he's got the leverage. Now, you've got the leverage for 5 years, and then you get into play with, are you going to franchise me the sixth year and all that. So it's a smart move. And he knew other teams were trying to trade up. If we stay at 31, Dallas or New Orleans or somebody will trade into 27, 28, 29. Any of those teams would be willing to trade out. And now we're sitting here at 31 with a Hackenberg or somebody we don't really like.
Thoughts on what day two will hold? Obviously, still some big names dealing with injuries. Miles Jack, the UCLA linebacker,
yeah.
The Notre Dame player who was very high on draft boards earlier in the year. Where do we see those guys go?
I hope somewhere today for both their sakes. It's terribly sad. It's cost them millions of dollars. It's cost them endorsements because now where they're drafted versus where they were. And all to play, especially in the case of Smith playing a bowl game, that was going to do literally nothing for him. I mean, he had everything to lose and the university had everything to gain. And that's just a crusher. Somebody's going to take Miles Jack here soon. I mean, you're talking these contracts now out of the first round. I mean, what are we talking about? $3.5 million guaranteed, $5 million. I mean, over the life of the contract, I mean, $5 million, $7 million guaranteed, depending how high he's picked here. It's nominal in the big picture for these teams, which are billion-dollar industries of their own. So he'll go. And then you try to have that career go as long as possible. You try to put off surgery for as long as possible. I think Jalen Smith maybe goes in the third round, somebody not wanting to wait until day three. That one, you're redshirting for at least a season and maybe a season and a half. And the other storyline is really Alabama. I mean, this is the dominant college football program in America for quite some time. I think they only had one player go in the first round. And people were talking about Alabama having as many first round picks as Ohio State. I mean, their center went, but I don't know if I'm missing anybody, but I can't think of anybody else. They had two or three D linemen in the mix. Nope. Nobody from their secondary, no skill players. Obviously the running back wasn't going to go, but I don't even know that he's the second, third or fourth running back off the board. So that's going to be an interesting one. Are NFL teams now just realizing that that's a pro program? And when you get these guys, they're already on their second contract because Saban runs them so hard and plays them so hard and chews them up that they're not, their bodies aren't 22 and 21 when you get them. They might be more like 25 and 26.
Well, it's fascinating. We always appreciate your insights. Real good to catch up. And when the dust settles on the draft, I do want you to soak in some Capitals Penguins. It was just absolutely sensational last night.
Yeah, I mean, overtime, I guess what OC had the hat trick or whatever.
Yep.
Knowing that, I've covered some of those series and been to many of them as a fan. I would bet on at least a game 6 and probably a game 7.